We're going to start with our first case of Gzela tonight. And the case I sent out is Nogela Maisa by me right now. I hope, at least partially, my computer is getting fixed. And suppose the person that's fixing my computer has to fix another computer. It's been there even longer than mine. Mine's been there over a week, and he has someone who's been there 2 weeks, and he's waiting to get a DVD drive to put into that first computer, and as soon as he gets it, he can give it back. But that customer says, I need it today. I don't want to wait till the UPS comes later on or tomorrow. So is he allowed to take the DVD drive from my computer, which isn't ready yet, and he said it's going to take a few more days, and put it into this person's computer, and he'll tell him it's used. He's not lying. And then when order another DVD for mine and replace my DVD. A similar case would be if your car's getting fixed. If your car's getting fixed and it's going to take a week to repair all the damage, in the meantime another car comes in and needs a stereo. Can you pull the stereo out from that car that's getting fixed that has other damage, it's going to take a while to fix, and put it into this new car and get it out of the way and buy another stereo to put into this other car? The third case, which the Mishpatei HaTorah talks about, he says the woman was a seamstress. She was making dresses, and someone brought her material for her dress, and in the meantime, she had another customer who was waiting and needed a dress right away, and she said, oh, this will be perfect for that dress. Is she allowed to take the material that Leah gave her for her own dress and put it into Rachel's dress and get other material, similar material for Leah when her dress is due? Right, that's, in other words, the bottom line of the Shaila is, are you allowed to steal someone else's property to give it to someone else and later replace it? Or simply put, can you steal someone's property planning on returning it? And that's the Shaila. So let's learn a little Gemara. Gemara says like this: Baba Kama, Das Samach Amid Beis, David HaMelech was fighting the Plishtim. And the Pasuk says, Vayisada David Vayomer David, was Vayisada, we went to Malos Yisada. He had a craving, and he said, Miyashkeni Maimi Bar Beis Lechem Asher Bashar, who can get me some water to drink from the well of Beis Lechem that's in the gate? So three strong people of his soldiers went into the camp of the Plishtim. They drew water from the well of Beis Lechem at the gate, and they brought it to David HaMelech. Now the Gemara assumes that he didn't really want literal water. He wanted to know some Torah's water, and he had a halacha shayla. And the Gemara wants to know, what was the halacha issue? What was his shayla that he was bothered with? So the Gemara gives three answers. The first answer has to do with the Gemara Bava Kama, and has nothing to do with us, but we'll read it anyway. Rava said in the name of Rav Nachman, Tumen Be'esh Kami Boile. The shayla was, we know that there's an Av Melacha called fire, and there's a machlokis weather. Yerchayev were something destroyed by fire when that item was hidden. It couldn't be seen. It was a stack of wheat, and inside was a diamond ring. So Tumen Beish Kami Boile, he had a shayla about whether Yerchayev to pay for things that are destroyed by fire. Ikra Rav Yehuda, do we pass like Rav Yehuda? Ikra Rabbanan, or do we pass like the Chachamim? And the Sanhedrin answer whatever they answered. Okay, now closer to what we need to know. Rav Huna says a second teretz. Gibdishim to Se'orim Yisrael Havu. These were stacks of barley. There were stacks of barley that belonged to Jews. The Plishtim were hiding in these stacks, in these silos of barley. And what David wanted to do was he wanted to burn the stacks. He wanted to bomb the stacks of barley, and by that killing the enemy, but there's going to be collateral damage. So he had to shy them. Can he bomb out the stacks of the Plishtim and thereby also destroy the property? So the Sanhedrin sent back, for normal people, you're not allowed to save yourself using someone else's property. A king, and we know a king may break fences in order to do what he needs. No one can protest. So they pass that he was allowed to burn the barley to kill the Plishtim. Finally, the halacha, that's also in Huchas Gzela, maybe we'll get to that another week, maybe next week, I'm not sure. But for this week, we have the third teretz. The Chachamim, and some say Rabba Bar Maori said, this was a shaila. Gedishim disoren disol havu. There were stacks of barley belonging to a Jew. Ugdishim dadoshim deplishtim. And there are other stacks of lentils, which are worth much more money, belonging to the plishtim. So the kamibar yilahu, so David had this shaila. Mao lito gedishim shel soren disol litan le pnei behemto. His animals were very hungry, animals like eating barley. So can he take the barley that belongs to the Jews? Can he steal that barley? Amenas l'shalim kedishim shaldasim deplishim, on the condition that he's going to repay them with something better. He's going to repay them with lentils, which are food for humans, which are worth much more money. So is he allowed to steal something for his momentary need? These stacks of barley that belong to the Jews, on the condition to pay back the stacks of barley that he'll conquer from the Plishtim later on. So Sholcholei, the Sanhedrin, sent back to him. The pasuk says, "Chavol Yoshev Rasha Gezela Yishalim." The Rasha, Chavol Yoshev, he'll return a pledge that he took, and he'll also repay a theft. But he's called Afa Pisha Gezela Mishalim, even though he's paying back that theft. Rasha, he's still called a Rasha. In other words, you're not allowed to steal something, even though you are planning on paying it back. And in this case, even though you're planning on paying it back with something better. Abu Atta Melechata, but they told David Melech, you're a king. A king can break through the fences and go through, and no one can protest against him. So this Gemara is clearly saying, if we're not a Melech, you're not allowed to steal something belonging to another person, even though you're planning on paying back something better later on. Right? It's a simple halacha. You want to feed your animals, and you see the barley laying around there, and you're going to pay back in lentils, but you're still Odanov. It's Rasha Gezela Yisham. You're a Rasha, even though you're planning on paying back the Gezela, because you're stealing it, and you're paying back later. So you're certainly a Rasha if you do that activity. So based on this, all these shilas we started with will certainly be awesome. You can't take the DVD drive to put from this computer to put into another computer. You can't take the material that for your dress for Leo's dress and put into Rachel's dress. You can't take Ruvain's stereo player in his car while it's getting fixed to put into the other car. You're stealing, even though you're going to pay back something better, you'll give back a new one, you'll give back a better one. Just like over here, David HaMelech, someone other than David HaMelech, is prohibited to take barley, even though he's going to pay back something better, lentils. It's still called gezel, it's still called theft. What you're doing is you're a thief, and you pay back the theft afterwards. It's not mutter to do that. That's a simple halacha based on this Gemara. So that will be the end of the sugya. Except it's a peladika rush. The rush on the Gemara says like this. The yiras. The rush says it appears. The mairi. This Gemara is talking. Shadayim lohayim zumanim. That these lentils that David HaMelech wanted to repay, or another person would want to repay, the owner of the barley, wasn't available yet. Like the case in the Gemara, he hadn't conquered the Plishtim yet. He wanted to conquer the Plishtim, and he hadn't. He didn't get those lentils yet. He wanted to take these stacks of barley belonging to the Jews. And when he finally would get those lentils of the Plishtim, which he knew he would win, then he'll return it. So that's what the Rosh says the Gemara is talking about. But if he had the lentils already available, even if the owners of the barley aren't here to ask them, what you do is like this. Before you take the barley without permission, what you do is you are machne them the lentils. How do you do that? Ayidei Acher. Right, you can't just say, I'm giving it to him. You have to find someone out in the street here, Bar Mitzvah, Bacher, and say, I want you to, and someone who's not Samech on your Shulchan, you say, I want you to take these, and another grown-up, I want you to take these lentils, and when you pick them up, or I'll give you a handkerchief, and the lentils aren't here, I'll give you a handkerchief, my lentils are in my house, so you give me your handkerchief, and when you give me your handkerchief, I want you to be makna those lentils to the owner of the barley. The Rush says like this, the Gemara's problem in you stealing the barley and on the condition to return the lentils was because you didn't have the lentils yet. But if you had the lentils, so what you do is you're makna the lentils to the victim, to your victim who you want to steal from. The lokeach gedishim shal zeorim, and then you take the stacks of the barley, because that's a zchus for that person. Because lentils are worth more than barley. And the Rosh concludes, that's what the pasuk is mashma. Chavol, yashiv rasha gezeila yishalein. Why are you a rasha? Because gezeila, first you stole it, and then you're going to pay it back. You stole it, and then you're paying it back. That makes you a rasha. But in this case, where you paid it first, you're not a goslin to start with. You're only a goslin if you take something that belongs to another person. Okay, and now I'm going to pay you back. So in the meantime, you're a goslin, and you're a rasha for being a goslin. But over here, where you give him the compensation first, it's like you're buying it from him. Here, I'm giving you lentils, which are certainly worth more. You'd rather have lentils than barley. And I'm giving it to you. It's not just I have it. I'm making a kinyan through someone else that it'll become his. So now, you owe me barley, because I gave you the lentils, I'll take the barley that you owe me, and it's no problem, because you'd rather have lentils than barley, it's worth more money, and even if you don't want the lentils, so you sell the lentils, and you'll have even more barley than you wanted. And the Rosh says, a peladika halacha, that you can do that. And this is Paskin and Shulchan Aruch, Simin Shinon Teset, which we've been learning, Siv Beis, Aser Ligzol, right, the Shulchan Aruch passes, you're not allowed to steal a fila, and that's shalom, dover, yafim, even though you're planning on paying back something nicer. But you can't, you're not allowed to be a goslin. You can't steal, even though you have nice intentions, you're going to give him something better, he'll be happier, you can't steal. V'yesh misha omer, but the Shulchan Aruch concludes, which the Gaon says is la halacha, and most pasim hold it, this says la halacha, he brings the Rosh. V'yesh misha omer, the hainu, he may not touch lumen, be'en. That's talking where you don't have the payment available right now. She'im hein be'en, but if the payment is available, keivan she'im yofim me'adava shalakach, if it's, since they're better than the thing that you took, v'chus alahem, it's a z'chus for them, the yizka osam levar, ma'yidai acher, and you can be mezakeh them to the owners through someone else. We have a halacha, zochen l'adam shalav b'fanav. I can make a kinyan for you even though you don't know about it because it's a schus for you, and you'd much rather have barley, you'd much rather have lentils than barley, so therefore it's no problem. If I have it already available, I can be makna it to you, and you'll be happy with that, and no problem. So let's just think based on this Rosh and Shulchan Aruch before we get to Rabbi Leader's kashas and the Yamshel Shlomo's kashas, which really are the Yamshel Shlomo's kashas. It would come out like this. If I have the tape recorder available, so it will come out like this. If I have the material available already, and it's better, right, two conditions. I have to have it available, and it has to be better, right? It's, you have a DVD reader. Now I'm going to give you a DVD reader writer. And I'm going to give you a tape cassette deck that has a CD with it. And I'm going to give you material that's a special finish and lasts longer. And I have it already. And not only do I have it, I made a kinyan that you now own it. So in those conditions, I could take your property and without your permission, because it's zochen l'adav shalav, because I already gave you something better, and take it for the other person and replace it with this other thing. That's what it would come out based on what we've seen so far. The Yamshel Shlomo says the peladik halacha. He says lo nihirli klal. This Rush doesn't make any sense at all. We'll read it together. V'chishari l'stacher b'mamon chaveir shalom edaito. How can you do business with someone's property without him knowing? Because you have this customer and you want to finish him off faster, you'll get another customer in maybe. How can you take him without him knowing? Maybe he likes barley better. Or maybe he has his animals that he needs to feed, and animals don't like lentils. He needs the barley to feed to his animals, and he needs to give the animals. He could sell it. He doesn't want to go to sell it and buy lentils afterwards. Maybe Sami doesn't want to sell his property right now. So pirkan, we learned in the end of this parak of Hakonis, which we learned the last 2 weeks, there's a halacha called chamsen. The chamsen afilu yarev dami, that you're called a chamsen. We learned what's called a chamsen. That's someone that takes the property of another person, even though he pays for it. Because he doesn't want to sell it, and you want to win it anyway. Here's the money, and you take it. That's called a chamsen. So how can you take this person's property? Maybe he doesn't really want to sell the barley. You didn't ask him. If he asked him, you want to sell the barley? He said no. So what you do is you take it without him knowing it. And Nistami says, even though the Gemara there is talking about chamsen is when you pay the money, but here you pay something more. But that seems to be that it's just as usher, you're not allowed to take something, you're not allowed to force someone to sell you something without asking. And I said, Zachon Olam Shalav Afanav, but here there's a chisaron, he could be losing from it. So the Yamshel Shlomo argues with this, with the Rush, and he says the Rush is wrong. The Taz agrees with the Yamshel Shlomo. He says the Marshal Paskin good, and we shouldn't rely on this halacha unless it's a Shas Archak for a Dvar Mitzvah. Maybe the Taz disagrees with the Yamshel Shlomo, and that's because the Yamshel Shlomo has these two kashas. First of all, who says he wants to sell it? Who says it's who says that he wants the? You're assuming he wants barley. He wants lentils more than barley. Who says? Maybe the barley he needs for his family. He needs for his animals. Maybe he needs the barley. He needs for chalons. Maybe he needs the barley for his own needs. What right do you have to take barley and paying something different? And number two, we had this halacha called chamsen that you're not allowed to force someone to buy something even though he doesn't really need it, but you have no right to take something that he might not want to sell. If he doesn't want to sell it, and you take it, that's called a chamsen.
Yeah,
the Taz says that if it's if it's a tzara gadol, it doesn't have to necessarily be a dvar mitzvah. It's a tzara gadol because he needs a chesed, right? So a person wants to do that chesed. This person really needs starving. His animal's going to die unless he takes that barley. You know, they're going to suffer, and you want to take it. So in that case, you could rely on it. But just in the cases we're talking about, it's for your convenience, and you want to get the job out because you don't want to get yelled at again. Right? That's not a tzara gadol, and therefore it wouldn't be mutter according to the Taz. So how do we deal with these two tainas? Well, the Tur adds in, when the Tur quotes his father, the Rush, he adds in a line. He says, Zach Adonim Shalav Afanav, and then he says, V'dafka Sheyadua Sheskhusilo. It's a big caveat to this halacha. This whole halacha, according to the Tur, applies only when it's known that it's a schuz. It's known that it's a schuz for that person. This is for sale. It's it's in the storefront, and it's over there ready to sell. You can't go and steal his sofa. Like, you need a sofa because your company's coming, and you see a sofa in his house, and he's not home now. I'll just take his sofa, and I'll give him a better one later. You can't take something that he might not want to sell. We're talking about something that's clearly being homemade for sale, and that's why you're allowed to take it. Right, so why is it as close? So the tour, the way that, and I'll say that's the way the Shach says this line of the tour is to answer all the Marashal's kashas. Because how do you know it's a schusalo? The Shach says because, since he's selling it anyway, it's not something that he needs for himself. The Marshal, that's how you know, maybe he needs the barley for himself, maybe he needs he doesn't want to sell it. We're talking about something that's clearly marked for sale. He's setting it up for the yard sale. You see a tag on it that he's going to sell it, so the yard sale didn't start yet, he's not around, I want to take it, and I'll pay back something better, even so that'll be mutter. according to the Rush, as long as I machmir it ahead of time, because I still can't steal, and then it'll be okay. Right, that's the Shach's lesson is when the Torah says Amin Machir Sheyodua Bebirur Shalbala Yechzegena Ba'atma. We know the owner is not going to keep it. Rakim Kareni. We know he's going to sell it. So that's the Shach is watering down this heter of the Rush and the Shulchan Aruch very much, and saying it applies only where we know it's something that he wants to sell, right? Which, like you're saying, won't help us in all these cases we're talking, because he does not plan on selling his DVD drive or his material or his tape deck. Right, so that's what the Shach says. The Ketoso disagrees with the Shach. The Ketoso says you're not learning right shot in the tour. He says that when the Rush says that he wanted to take the adoshim weren't prepared, right? The Rush says, oh, the kedushim, the lentils weren't mezumanim, right? So that's why it's a problem over here. Why was it a problem in David Menachem's case? Because he didn't have the lentils yet. So the Ketos asks, according to the Shach's understanding of the Torah, why did the Rush have to say, well, he didn't have the lentils yet? Maybe he had the lentils, but let's say we're talking in a case where we don't know that the barley was for sale. But if we know the barley's for sale, then you're allowed to do it. Right? How does, you know, it's not so mashma that we're talking where we know it's for sale. So the Ketos understands what the Torah means is the end of the Torah is the main point. The end of the Torah says, Al mechetze beiso lo. Mistama, people don't mind selling property or that could be replaced with something better. They don't care. If it's chesed beis, or if it's their household items, then they do mind. If it's something like their sofa, their things that are in their house, that people don't want to sell. That's the diuk, that's the ikur diuk of the tour. It's not that you have to know that he's selling it. What we're saying is chesed beis alo. If it's not his household items, then you could assume back to the chiddush of the Rosh, the way we understood it at first, that we're talking about things that he won't care one way or the other. You're replacing this thing with a better item. You're replacing the barley. Barley is not something that is household item. Barley is something that you eat. So I'm replacing something with better food. I'll replace your turkeys with chickens. I'll replace something with your chickens with ducks. I'll replace it with better food that you don't mind. So that already is a schus, zachan shel b'fanav, as long as I, once again, it has to be better and I'm mizach to you first. And under those conditions, you're okay. Rabbi Yeager on this Shulchan Aruch, he seems to say that he brings from the Ran, quoting the Raiva, that if you are taking something on the, if it's something that's all made for sale, if you're taking on the condition to pay for it, you don't have to give the money first. It's something, an item that's mamish for sale. So and the Machna Frayn says we're talking where you want to pay money. That's the way he understands the Ran. That if you're just going to pay money, so then you don't have to be mezakeh the money to him first. The item's for sale, so you can, in a case where suppose it's in a store and the owner's not there right now, so Kirk Yeager seems to be saying what you can do is you can take the item from the store. It's in the store, and then you go to the farm store, the owner's not there, take this farm, and then when you see him, they say, oh, by the way, I took this, here's the money. And that's not called stealing, even though you're taking his, right now it's his property, I'm taking it out, and the definition of theft is I take someone's property without his permission. But since it's omei limacher, it's ready for sale, and you're going to pay for it, it's just he's not here to pay, so mameila, you're allowed to do it. The Machna Frayn says, Arisugi is talking because you're not paying with money, you're just replacing barley with lentils, so that's where you have to make the kinyan ahead of time. But if you're just paying with money, so then, of course, you could just take it without any problem. That's a Ran and the Raivan. What happened to the problem with chamas? The second problem, issue of the Marshal, the Ketos answers, chamas only applies where I'm standing here, I say, I don't want to sell it to you, and you forcefully take it from me, then you're a chamsa. But if I'm not there, and you're taking something that we're assuming is a tzchus for me, which is the assumption of the Rush, that zochan olam shelo b'fanav, you're replacing my worser thing with something that's better, something that I would prefer. So in that case, You're not a chamsan. You're not over the nisr. Chamas, all the cases we spoke about, where is that he doesn't want to sell you. You either convince him, and you don't convince him, right? That machlokas raibin in the Rambam. But certainly here we're talking that it's a zchus for him. And he's not saying he doesn't want to. Ein chinam, if we'll later say, you took my barley, I don't want to sell it. I don't care. You gave me something better. Give me back my barley. So then you're mechuyav to give it back, or replace it with barley. You can't say, well, I already gave you lentils. I don't want lentils. I want the barley. So he certainly had the right. And for you to have taken it would make you a chamsan. So based on all of this, the Mishpat HaTorah comes out like this. The Mishpat HaTorah says, in his case, where it was material, he says that Leah gave the material to the seamstress, and the seamstress needed to use it for Rachel's dress. So he says, if she has the other material, she owns the other material, it's not just available now, it's inconvenient for her to get it, so then she can use this rush. And the Shulchan Aruch, which we've answered the tainas of the Marishal, and learning not like the Shach, but like the Ketos, and because this stuff wasn't really made for sale, she wants it, but according to these poskim, what you do is you are machne the other material to Rachel through a third party. And through a third party, then you could use Leah's material for Rachel, and you're not considered a goslin. Right? That's what he posits. He said, if you don't have the material yet, so then you don't have any hetzer, because then you'll be a goslin. You'll be taking her property, and it's wrong to take her property, and you return it. That's a gazla, and the pasuk says chavol yashiv rasha gezel yashalim. You're a rasha even though you return the gezel afterwards. You have to give it to her ahead of time, and it has to be better to fit the criteria of the Shulchan Aruch halacha. However, I think he missed another point. I think it's not so simple like he said. The Beis Ephraim has a shaila where a craftsman was given wood, silver, and gold, and in order to make a certain keli. He wanted a certain object made, a utensil made with this material that he gave the craftsman. He gave him wood to build him a shtender, to build him a table. And the craftsman had another job to do, like we've been talking about. And he said, and he wanted to switch that wood for a job he was in the middle of, and then replace that wood and make the object that the Reuven wanted out of other wood. Right, that was similar to our Shaila. So he says it's mutter without making the kinyan ahead of time. He says, what's the problem? There's halacha zenena mezelo chaser. We have a rule that if something that you could benefit from and that person has no loss by it, so it's mutter. Unless, of course, he protests. So then we said, Zenen is a l'chaser. He has the right to protest, l'chachila. But if you don't hear him protesting, there's a l'cha Zenen and a l'chaser is mutter. And therefore, over here, the Uman and his first customer will be Nana by using this wood. The second customer who just came with his wood will never know the difference, because he'll get the same quality wood, the same quality silver, the same quality gold for his silver cup, for his shtender, for his table. And then there was a real chaser, and it's completely mutter. What do you do with the rush and the Shulchan Aruch that paskins that you have to have to be better, and it has to be something that's already available and something that you were already machnet to him ahead of time, and that prevents you from becoming a goslin? Here we're saying, I could use the wood just straight and replace it with other wood. Why, in the Rosh's case, did it have to be better and had to make a kinyan and through someone else and have to be available already now? So he says a simple chiluk. He says, because over there I'm giving back something different. I am taking barley and I'm giving back lentils. So there we have to, it's a different item. So we have to rely on zachan alim silvafani driver to have lentils because it's healthier, it's worth more money. And in order to be zachan alim silvafani, so then you have to make a kinyan. That's a zchus for you. To prevent me from being a goslin, I have to pay back first with something better and be mezakeh to you. And then it's zachan alim silvafani. But Over here, where we're talking, I'm giving back the same exact wood. It's the same exact silver, same exact gold. It won't matter at all to you. You have your house vacant right now. No one's there, and you never rent it out anyway. And I could use it right now. So, yeah, of course, it might be better to ask, but it's then and a zelo chaser is mutter for me to do. That's, he brings other rayas based on this, because really then and a zelo chaser doesn't, you're not allowed to just walk in, it's lechachila. But that's the basis of his halacha. He makes a chiluk between where I'm replacing with something different and I'm replacing it with the same item. And Pesach Yechoshen goes even a step further. He says that Beis Ephraim shouldn't have even had any kasha from the Rosh, because the Rosh's case was, I took the item that you own, I'm stealing your item and giving you something else back. But the main point is, I'm stealing your item. In the case of the Beis Ephraim, I gave you wood. I wasn't expecting to get the wood back. I gave you wood, which I know you're going to make into a table for me. I gave you silver. I know you're going to make into a cup for me. So I'm not going to get the silver back like I gave you. I'm not going to get the wood back. I'm going to get a finished product. So it should make a difference to me whether I got it was from that wood I gave you or other wood I gave you, from that silver or other silver. So he says, Bechlal shouldn't have been Akasha from the Rosh to start with. It's a whole different case. So anyway, based on this base of Rayim, in these cases that the Mishpat Yatzar was talking about, the cases I said, it would depend on what we're talking about. If I'm giving back the same exact item, I took the material, I'm giving back the same exact material, I know this is the same material that Leah gave Rachel, that's mamish the Beis Ephraim Shaili, gave him wood and he has other wood. So according to the Beis Ephraim, you wouldn't, and Pesach Yeshua brings down the Beis Ephraim in this in Shinon Tess, according to the Beis Ephraim, you wouldn't have to have the conditions that it's better material and it's kinyan ahead of time, so it shouldn't be gzeil. I'm giving you material, especially the way Pesach Yechoshen is saying, the material is made to be shaped into another, into a dress. You're going to get a dress back, you're going to get a suit back, not that material. So what's the difference whether the material arrives 2 days later or the material arrives now? Either way, the Beis Ephraim says it's okay. And in this case, the Mishnah Torah should have been okay also without having to rely on the Rosh's conditions of it being better and having the kinyan ahead of time. Now these other cases that I added, the cases of the DVD and the tape deck in the car, so it's like in between a little bit. Because over there, it's not like the cases, the way Pesach Yechoshen understands them, that I didn't give you my car and you're going to fashion it into something else. What you're doing is you're taking my DVD and you're putting something back in place. Now the way the Beis Ephraim explained it, that should also be okay. Because as long as I'm giving back the same thing, you're not replacing a tape recorder with a CD player. Right, because then you could say, look, the CD player might be worth more, but you know, I have tapes, I have cassettes, and I don't want the CD player. And then you'd have to rely on the Rosh and the Shulchan Aruch to say, well, it's worth more, and he probably wants it. But then you would say, well, but this is probably not something that he wants to sell, because many people want to have to have cassettes rather than CDs. But if it's something that really makes no difference, it's the same quality, it's a cassette plus better, or it's newer, so in that case it could be that you wouldn't even need to have the conditions of it's better and it's a kinyan ahead of time. I'm taking out something of equal value, I'm putting back something of equal value, and it could be that'll be good enough, even though the Beis Ephraim is not talking in such a case. But his svara says, his lashon is, Alvim nosin lo trumaso dover kizem mamish, if he gives back the exact exchange, vein kapedal of alabais bezeo bezen, the alabais will have no hakpada, he won't have, and he's not particular to have this one or that one. Even though it's not a schus for him, it's not any better. Mikomokom gam sad choven kan, it's not any worse. So then, as long as we don't hear them complaining, right? So that's the base of Ephraim's chiddush, that if you're giving back the same exact thing, it's, why should he care? It's the same exact item, so that's even better than the case of the Rosh, where you're giving back something different, but of a better quality. So the way the halachas come out, you can apply different cases depending on what they are. The halachas come out like this. If you want to take something from someone that he has and replace it with something better, you're only allowed to do that if you are going to replace it with something that's truly better, and you have it now, and you're machnet it to him ahead of time. So that way you're not a gazan, right? And that's talking where you want to give something different back. Right? You're taking the barley and replacing it with lentils. You're taking a tape recorder and replacing it with a CD drive. In that case, I don't think it's clearly better, because some people do want to have their tape recorders. But a condition we said is it has to be something that the assumption is it's for sale. You can't go inside his house and pull something out and then say, his sofa, I'll give you back a better sofa later. It has to be something that could be for sale. It's not chesed beis, something that a person wouldn't mind selling. And according to the shach, it has to be something that's clearly for sale. It has to be something that a person would clearly want to sell. If it's an item that is in a store for sale, not a private person who probably wants to sell it, but it's mamish in a store for sale, so there we learned from Rabbi Yeager that there you could take it without these conditions and pay the money later, because it's clearly for sale and he's not around to pay him, you give him the money later. Now if it's you're replacing the same exact item, you're not replacing something different, it's mamish that item, DVD for DVD, CD for CD, or a CD plus a DVD that's going to do better. So there, according to the Beis Ephraim, it seems you don't even need to make the kinyan at a time, because we have the additional svara of Zen and Zel al Chaser. He's gaining, I'm gaining, and you're not losing anything. So what's the problem if I take it? You'll have your car back just in time, in the same time I promise you anyway. You'll have the computer back the same time I promise you anyway. But in the meantime, I can help someone else out. So in that case, the Beis Ephraim was maturid even without having it ahead of time, even without it being better, without making the kinyan ahead of time, and the rest would just work out the different cases to fit into these rules.